Heinrich in need reservation. On June 15, 1976, Ken Sayers, Agency Special Officer, Bureau of Indian Affairs, said he was in receipt of information that several small groups of out-of-state individuals were scattered throughout the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. He had no specific information regarding locations or identities of these groups. Sayers advised several weeks ago a meeting was held at Oglala, South Dakota, between members of that community and individuals known to be affiliated with American Indian Movement. With the concurrence of the Citizens Committee of that community and the knowledge of BIA, these individuals formed a Citizens Committee and since June 9, 1976, have been patrolling the Oglala housing area with the stated intent to cut down on truancy and drunkenness in that area. Unverified information received by Sayers to the effect these AIM members had made comment that any police officer coming into Oglala housing would be shot. On one occasion since June 9, 1976, BIA patrol units made contact with the Citizens Patrol Committee and were told not to come into the Oglala area. They were not wanted. Sayers said BIA police under his command are only infrequently entering the Oglala housing area, and when they do, are entering in force and only when specifically called to do so. John Stewart, presently in protective custody, U.S. Marshals Service, waiting to testify at trial, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, for gaining to murder of two FBI agents on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, Pine Ridge, South Dakota, furnished same information regarding Citizens Committee patrolling the Oglala area. On June 16, 1976, during investigation, FBI agents learned from a Oglala resident that on June 15, 16, 1976, the above-mentioned Citizens Patrol Group was actively recruiting residents of Oglala into AIM in a house-to-house contact. Residents said word was out that this same Citizens Group is to confiscate privately owned weapons from homes and vehicles in the near future. Resident advised FBI agents that at all costs, the FBI should stay out of the Oglala area from June 24 through June 27, 1976, as AIM has planned a memorial celebration for that period in memory of Joe Stuntz, Indian killed during time of reservation murder of the two FBI agents. He also said he fears, as many residents do, there could be more killings, and he is moving his family from the area during the period of the memorial. All of the above information was discussed with Ken Sayers, which included FBI jurisdiction and the FBI's lack of protective powers on the reservation. BIA has diminished its patrolling activities in the Oglala area. American Indian, apparently in charge of aforementioned Citizens Patrol Group, is Wallace Little Jr., a.k.a. June Little, who recently suffered the loss of a hand and an eye while experimenting with explosives, and is known militant member of AIM at Pine Ridge. Other members of this same group identified as Charles Long Soldier, Edgar Bear Runner, Frank Steppenwolf, and Sam Loudhawk, all known members of AIM at Pine Ridge. End of teletype. Teletype originated from Minneapolis field office of the FBI.
A rural Medford, Wisconsin man has become South Dakota's latest traffic fatality. The State Patrol reporting that 23-year-old Wayne Bach died Monday night when the motorcycle he was driving crashed head-on with a van on U.S. Highway 83, 7 miles south of Myrtle. The patrol saying the motorcycle was on the wrong side of the road and moving at a high rate of speed when it collided with the van driven by 62-year-old Fred Michel of Summer, Washington. Word came from the state's Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs today that South Dakota businessmen are getting telephone solicitation for copy paper from out-of-state companies using a distress sales pitch. Department Secretary Max Gore saying the firms apparently use a so-called boiler room telephone operation with a Watts line to call South Dakota businessmen. Circuit Judge John Jones of Prussia was elected as president of the South Dakota Judges Association. He succeeds Judge Robert Miller of Peer. Elected vice president and secretary treasurer were Judges E.W. Hertz of Minot and Robert Patterson of Sioux Falls. That brings us up to the sports show tonight, making it two in a row. Bob Laskowski.
Some kind of a record.
In Major League Baseball this afternoon, two games in the National League and an early start on nighttime activity in the American. Looking at the scoreboard first of all for American League activity. After five innings in the first game of a doubleheader, the Chicago White Sox are leading the Minnesota Twins by a score of 4-1. The White Sox taking advantage of early wildness by Twins pitcher Joe Decker. Other activity in the American League has Boston at Baltimore and Cleveland at New York tonight. Remainder of the American League action will have Detroit at Milwaukee, Kansas City going to Texas, and Oakland will be at California against Nolan Ryan. In National League action, this afternoon, a doubleheader. Bob Moose's throwing error allowed Jose Cardenal to score the winning run in the bottom of the ninth inning to give the Chicago Cubs a 6-5 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Reliever Oscar Zamora got the win for Chicago. Willie Stargell and Richie Zisk homered for the Pirates. The second game was delayed by rain, but now, after four innings, it was Pittsburgh 2, Chicago nothing, and they have suspended that game because of darkness. After four innings, Pittsburgh 2, Chicago nothing, no lights in Chi-Town. After five in the first game of a twin bill, Atlanta is leading Montreal 2-1. Big battle tonight, Philadelphia at Cincinnati, and the rest of the National League activity this evening. New York, St. Louis, San Diego, San Francisco, that'll be a doubleheader. And L.A. goes against the Houston Astros and other National League action. The California Angels announced today the recall of Rapid City's Dave Collins from Salt Lake City in the Pacific Coast League. Collins sent down earlier this season after a sensational rookie year last year when he was named Angel Rookie of the Year was burning up the Pacific Coast League with a current batting average of .375, and for a long time he'd been near the .400 mark, but now he's back with the California Angels. After rain canceled last night's Legion doubleheader at Sioux Park between Post 22's Varsity and Dickinson, North Dakota, they rescheduled tonight with the Bullets playing Dickinson the first game and the Varsity playing Dickinson the second, but now we've received word that those ball games tonight have been canceled because of wet grounds at Sioux Park Stadium. In tennis, Jimmy Connors became the first player to reach the final 16 of the Wimbledon Tennis Championships today. Connors notched his third straight set win in as many days and didn't stay on center court long enough to let London's 95-degree temperatures worry him. He disposed of Egyptian Ismail Al-Shafi 6-4, 6-love, 6-3. Surprisingly, all the men's seeds remained intact, but three-time champion John Newcomb did have a rough ride. It took Newcomb 3.5 hours to dispose of Briton John Fever, who drilled a record 42 aces past the veteran Australian in a five-set match. Only nine of the original 33-man American contingent remains in this event, but the ranked players Roscoe Tanner, Stan Smith, and Brian Gottfried reached the third round without problem. Vito Gerulaitis, Bob Lutz, and Steve Krulovitz also joined Arthur Ashe and Charlie Passerell, who made it to the last 32 yesterday. And Snoopy never made it to the tournament. In the gals division, top-seeded Chris Evert didn't lose a game against her second-round opponent, beating Britain's Annette Coe, 6-love, 6-love. Lovely game. In the world of golf, the $200,000 Western Open begins in suburban Chicago tomorrow at Butler National, one of the most demanding courses in the country. Since the Western Open moved to Butler National 2 years ago, only one player, defending champion Hale Irwin, has bettered par on the 7,000-yard layout. Tom Watson won the tournament 2 years ago with a 3-over-par figure. This year's field includes newly crowned U.S. Open champ Jerry Pate, plus Tom Weisskopf and Billy Casper, a 5-time winner. Curtis Strange and Jay Haas, a pair of collegiate champions from Wake Forest, will make their pro debuts in this event. And on the ladies' scene, 9 of the top 10 money winners in the women's circuit will tee off tomorrow in the opening round of the $100,000 Babe Zaharias Invitational Classic in suburban Cleveland. The four-day event, the third richest of the year, offers a top prize of $15,000. Judy Rankin has won 3 titles this year and could surpass the single-season record for money-winning earnings by finishing third or better. Other sport...
When many people become involved, will foster children and their families get services denied them now? Public apathy must become public sympathy. Reach your action committee by calling Beaumont and Slope County Social Services at 523-3285.
For your show.
Oh, bless
you. This
your
first time always. Really? Brand spanking new.
Mercy. Now, on that farm of yours near Brentwood, Tennessee, where you live, you got any horses out there?
I got...
You don't...
Rules governing the match were also finalized today, and some restrictions were placed on the wrestling champion. Inoki will not be allowed to kick or use chops to the back of the neck, the kidneys, that's good, or the Adam's apple. In addition, he cannot hit any...
You have to go out and feed him.
They have a sport which is closer to our speed, Gene, and that's cross-country running.
In Hot Springs, High School Athletic Director Jim Taze has announced the running of the fourth annual Angostura Road Run. It'll be this Sunday near the Angostura Reservoir, which is 7 miles south of Hot Springs. They'll have five divisions. There'll be divisions for about anybody that wants to run. Registration from 8 to 8:45 Sunday morning. Racing starting at 9. Trophies for the first three finishers in each division. And T-shirts to all participants. Gals are invited too. It should be a lot of fun.
T-shirts. The gals.
You bet. And, well, I tell you, we should get down there and, well, you should get down there and do a little running. I'll just take this
well,
off.
Well, all this conditioning I'm going through, having lost 20 pounds, I'd be a real fireball out there.
Pounds.
Yes, got I lost 50. Another 10 or 15 to go. You have an excuse, I don't. Turning back to the news today, Senator James Haberesk says his own actions may have sparked the FBI's investigation that his son has been storing guns for a July 4th outbreak of Indian violence. Haberesk suggested today that his own criticism of the Bureau of Indian Affairs may be the cause of a false report that his son is keeping such an arsenal. The FBI acknowledged to the South Dakota Democrat it was investigating an informant's report that 22-year-old Charles Haberesk, who lives on the Pine Ridge Reservation, has been storing guns in his home. Charles lives on the reservation and attends a community college at Wanblee. These items today frighten citizens in Beirut who have become accustomed to huddling at night in their basement shelters and doing without essential goods such as bread, milk, and gasoline. We're given another hardship to endure today when the capital was plunged into a total power blackout. Mortars falling in the southeastern sector hit the main pylons supplying the capital with electricity. Despite the continuing battles between the warring factions there, a ceasefire for the other in the conflict between Palestinians and the invading Syrian army has begun to take hold. Beirut's airport has been reopened. Syrian forces have withdrawn from the southern Beirut area under the supervision of the joint Syrian and Libyan peacekeeping force. Union officials were called to court in Boston today to explain why they should not be held in contempt of a judge's order that striking Massachusetts state employees return to work immediately. Thousands of state workers walked off their jobs on Monday in a pay dispute. Union leaders and individual members face possible fines and penalties. Strike-connected vandalism has been reported at a Boston welfare office. The governor of Puerto Rico today defied a White House ban on flying the Commonwealth flag and playing its anthem during the forthcoming Economic Summit conference. Washington said there was a misunderstanding and quickly withdrew the order, apparently issued with the idea of avoiding emotional demonstrations by Puerto Rican separatists. French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing told a joint session of the British Parliament today that Britain and France should bury their age-old rivalry. He proposed yearly meetings of government chiefs of the two nations, regular consultation of foreign ministers, and frequent meetings of other officials. We'll have more for you after this.
Cheetos! We are the Cheeseketeers. We love those Cheetos brand cheese-flavored puffs right here. I fight for fried Cheetos with the crackly crunch. They're much too good for that villainous bunch. I love Cheetos too, all right, but it's baked Cheetos for which I fight. Baked Cheetos are so crisp yet light. Cheetos, cheese, and those crunch.
Treasury Secretary William Simon today called for greater efforts to even out a trade imbalance with Poland, which now favors the United States. Speaking in Warsaw, Simon also expressed confidence that trade between the two nations could easily top $1 billion this year. And Simon said Washington will give favorable consideration to future Polish requests for more trade credits. Laskowski will be glad to know that. A $12.3 billion agriculture appropriations bill is now headed for a House-Senate conference committee following its passage today by the Senate. The bill contains $600 million more than the House-approved bill calls for. Passage of that bill came after the Senate beat back an effort to stop all government spending for the tobacco industry. And as you know, the drought in South Dakota is having a disastrous effect on farm produce. Governor Richard Knipe told in a news conference today that losses could range
between $250 million and $300 million. He said it could even go possibly higher. Officials are worried about the long-term effect of the drought on the state's economy. There was some severe weather reported in the central part of the state today, where some severe weather warnings went out earlier. And they were predicting that there might be some shower activity in the eastern part of the state, where they're in bad need of moisture. We'll have an update on those stories and other news for you on 10 o'clock tonight. That's it for now.
I'll tell you folks what's going on. It's Gibson's Fabulous Dollarthon. Best of housewares, you're in luck. Many of them you can buy for a buck. Professional quality tools that last, price so low they're going fast. Kitchen helpers and baking supplies. Dollarthon's the best in buys. Electric and paint accessories at super low prices, sure to please. Automotive and drapery supplies, buy them now, it shows you're wise. There's hundreds of items that could fill a barn. You'll save lots of money at Dollarthon, so get on down to Gibson's Fabulous Dollarthon. Now!
This is KOTA-TV, Channel 3 in Rapid City, KHSD-TV, Channel 11, Lee Deadwood.
From Opryland in Nashville, this is Rob.
Part of the ongoing COINTELPRO operation against Native Americans. The FBI Here I am,
Ward campaign coordinator Doug Shanks has also been on the phone.
Don't do that. Really, I don't like things like that. No, we're using it. And they say, don't, Dina, really, I don't like it. Please. It scares me, huh?
Why?
I don't like things being put at me like that. Please, please don't. No? Here, I'll take it away. No, I don't like it. I really don't. It makes me itchy. Please?
Microphone difficulties. We're now ready for the news. In the Cedar Rapids, Iowa trial of two men in the murder of two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation last summer, a government official testified for the defense today. Equal opportunity specialist William Muldrow of Denver said there was a great deal of tension and fear on the reservation before and after the shootings. He testified there had been numerous complaints lodged with his office about FBI activities on the reservation. Robert Robideau and Daryl Butler are charged in the shooting deaths of agents Jack Kohler and Ron Williams. The defense contends that an atmosphere of violence on Pine Ridge led to fear of attack and also to the shootout. Oglala Sioux Tribal Judge Hobart Keith said today he will order inmates of the Pine Ridge Jail freed tomorrow in observance of the 100th anniversary of the Battle of the Little Bighorn. At the same time, Tribal President Al Trimble said tomorrow will be a tribal holiday and that all tribal offices will be closed. In a statement, Trimble said the Sioux people should take stock of their current situation and look to the future with renewed hope for the development and the growth of the tribe. He said tribal members could best serve the interests of the tribe by placing their faith in their leaders at the local and the tribal level. A temporary restraining order has been issued in Pennington County.
Gary Larson. Comer says minimum standards for law.
A prize defense witness has testified in the murder trial of two American Indians in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The testimony came during the U.S. District Court trial of Robert Robideau and Daryl Butler, who were accused of murdering two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Reservation last summer. Thelma Hess was called to discredit testimony given by a prosecution witness, James Harper. Hess says Harper told her he would avoid being returned to a Texas jail even if he had to kill someone in jail. Harper had been called by the prosecution earlier and had testified that Daryl Butler told him he had been in on the killings of two FBI agents. In other developments in the Butler-Robideau trial, FBI agent David Price was also called to testify today. He told the court of encounters with one of the witnesses scheduled to testify for the defense. Anna Mae Aquash was later found dead on the reservation. The defense counsel and AIM leaders maintained that Miss Aquash was last seen alive in FBI custody and that agents had threatened her with death if she failed to cooperate. Investigation of Miss Aquash's death showed her to have been shot in the neck at close range. Former U.S. Congressman John Rarick is proposing a unique method for the Postal Service to save money. Rarick is in Rapid City to address the two-day American Patriots Bicentennial Convention. He was interviewed today on KOTA's noon program and responded to questions on the postal system.
Well, it's a big joke in reality. Under the Constitution, one of the basic monopolies that was delegated by the people in the states to the Congress to operate was the post office roads, or the post offices. Nothing was said in the Constitution that the people were even expected to pay for the post offices. The Second Amendment, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, was felt so important to the founding fathers that they felt that the post office should be practically given as a free service to the people. And yet today, we're finding the area where the bureaucrats say we have to close more and more of the small rural post offices because of the tremendous expense of running the post offices. And anyone who takes the time to decide who is the postal users will find out that it's the large eastern newspapers and magazines, it's the business people, it's the corporations, and the average little American for whom the post office and the constitutional delegation was intended now finds that his first class postage, just to mail a letter, is 13 cents. And Congress last week was besought by the Post Office Department to raise the postage rate again. And they said no, that if they raised it even higher than 13 cents, that it would be to the point of being prohibitive, and many of the poor people would not be able to afford their average mailing. And in reality, the only way, it may sound ridiculous in this area, but the way to cut the cost of the post office would be to give everybody free postage. Because only the small citizen is the only one paying postage today.
Senator James Aberesk is demanding investigations by Congress and the Justice Department into an FBI report which says his son is storing guns in South Dakota for July 4th violence by militant Indians. The FBI has acknowledged to Aberesk that the report is unsubstantiated, but that it's looking into the matter. Aberesk also wants to know why the report was made available to so many people so easily. The senator says the Bureau of Indian Affairs has an interest in putting him on the spot. A spokesman for Rapid City Regional Hospital is taking issue with rumors that the School of Nursing there may be closing its doors. Ed Lummis says the school has just received accreditation and has no intention of closing or cutting back. In addition, he says teaching nurses is still going to be a major program at the hospital.
Our experiences in recruiting nurses in the past tell us that the training of nursing is going to be a major priority for the hospital for the foreseeable future. There is no reason to think that it would be less important as we look ahead.
About six times each year, members of the Rapid City Police Force must demonstrate their proficiency with weapons. Newsline's Stu Steele has this report.
Department weapons training is under the supervision of instructor Andy Comer and his assistant Gary Larson. Comer says minimum standards for law enforcement officers require they score at least 75% on the course four times a year. But Rapid City Department standards call for them to take the course 6 to 8 times a year. Part of the course is the standard National Rifle Association timed fire course that ranges up to 50 yards, in which officers fire, reload, and fire again. The course also includes close combat, firing at a moving target, a night firing course, and a stress course in which the officer fires 25 rounds after engaging in strenuous exercise. In all, 75 Rapid City Police Department officers are qualified, and Comer says 6 are distinguished by scoring 97% or higher 5 times. He said one thing most people do not realize is that before any officers are permitted to carry a weapon on patrol, they must meet stringent training requirements. Stu Steele for Newsline.
Got that?
Okay.
All right, now hang on to this and run, all right?
Okay.